welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the last bastion of free speech in the entire universe, with a couple of exceptions. One of the exceptions is Patriotic Weekly Review, which is on Wednesdays, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button and send shekels. And also, as always, we want to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, NKC. We don't want to. Well, maybe you want to be kosher. And if you want to be kosher, download the Koshertified app, and it will tell you all of the non-kosher certified foods that you've got to avoid. If you want to be NKC, download the Koshertified app, and let's be NKC together. And that is, you'll find that at nationalbugle.com. And today is Monday, and we have with us Mark Collett of the Patriotic Weekly Review.
It's great to have my Monday slot back. I know we missed a week, but it is very good to be back on the show. I feel like I'm back into the routine of a proper Monday when I'm here.
Yeah, I know. I certainly missed you. I can't remember what I did. I did something mad. I'm sure I can't remember what it was. Something mad. Maybe I was like riding a unicycle through an old folks' home or something. I do things mad every now and then. But that's how you learn. That's how you learn. So today, I just wanted to start off. I don't know where we're going to go. And there is. I am interested in all the stuff that's going on in Britain. But that's going to have to wait for a second. Because usually, I only watch movies on airplanes. But I had an invitation yesterday, and people who have heard my shows on other networks or the shows where I'm, a guest host or whatever, have probably already heard me talk about it. But I actually went to a movie theater, and I saw the Joker movie, which I was going to wait until next summer and watch on an airplane. But okay, so I've seen it, and I'm prepared to talk about it. But here's the thing. I had heard from my colleague, Engelbert Poindexter had told me that they were using his song, That's Life, as the theme song for the movie. And so I was excited about it. And I went down, and sure enough, I heard those opening organ riffs, and I was all excited. And then they had some other Joker singing the song, some guy like Frank Sinastro or something. I don't know. So the whole thing was crazy. But I understand that you've heard the original Engelbert Poindexter version of the song.
I have. I've been listening to it before the show, and this is very amusing.
Okay. Let's let the people at home have a bit of a listen to it. We'll be right back. That's life.
That's life.
That's what the Goyim say. You're riding high in 1912, shot down on VE Day. But I know I'm gonna change that too. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And it seems to be the case. Antifa like to get their kicks stomping on my face. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this dreidel world, it keeps spinning around. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe. That's what they sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's,
you're gonna find yourself in trouble with the Jews. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl pain, that's what you tell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in a heap of trouble with the
You know, I think that sounds, that would be a much better theme song. I don't know why they didn't use that. Must have been some, I'll have to talk to Engelbert about it. It would have been much more appropriate because, you know, the song is about the downtrodden. And I think those lyrics, the original Engelbert Poindexter lyrics are much more to the point than the Frankie Goes to Hollywood lyrics. What do you think?
I found them very amusing. I think whoever this guy is, he's a very, very witty guy.
Yeah, he's very, very witty. Some people say he looks like me, but honestly, he's much shorter. I'm much taller. And you've seen the movie too, right?
I haven't, and this is the really interesting thing. We're going to talk about the Joker movie. I do have some takes on it, though, even though I haven't seen it. But I am really looking forward to sort of discussing this, because although I haven't actually seen it, I do have some sort of perspectives on why they've made this film. And I'll be very interested to obviously hear your perspectives, because you've seen it. And at some point in the future, I will be watching it myself, because obviously... it's the kind of film I do actually want to watch. It's the kind of film that, I would like to go and see, but I tend not to go to the cinema these days because I kind of feel like by going to the cinema, I'm kind of funding people
yes.
I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I saw it at a low budget place, so I don't know how much profit they made off of me, but whatever. And I don't typically... watch a lot of movies, and I'm not the most natural film critic, but here's one thing. You know, the most popular talk show host, one of the most popular talk show hosts in the past few decades in the United States is Larry King. And, you know, he would bring people on and talk about their books, right? And he made a point of never reading anybody's book. He'd never read anybody's book because he figured, well, the audience at home hasn't read the book, so I'll be asking the questions that they would ask. So there's nothing wrong with not having read the book. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, so the movie, it borrows somewhat on the Batman character. Now, the Batman character Joker was a supervillain. But this guy... and I don't know, spoiler alert or whatever, he's just a downtrodden person. He's somebody who's just had a bad time. It's revealed throughout the movie, over the course of the movie, that he was an abused child. He was adopted. He was abused and, you know, becomes mentally ill. He was made fun of at school and whatnot. Oh, hold on. It's Melania again. Hello. Yes. So you had Baron talk some sense into your husband? Yeah, I think it's been working out just fine. Yeah, have him talk a little bit more sense into your husband because, he's starting to get on a bit of a roll. Mm-hmm. Well, I bet your husband is upset about John Bolton. So what's he calling him? That's an acronym. It stands for fake and gay. Okay, well, I can't talk now. Love you. Talk later. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. He's downtrodden, and he represents the downtrodden. Now, I'm not a literary critic, and you're not going to hear me talking about, hey, Mr. T, that's not food, all right? Sorry, he's eating a shoe. My gig. My gig is looking at the politics of it, and in particular, because politics in the United States and in the UK is so racial right now, let's look a little bit at the racial aspects of it. So here you've got, he's supposed to be a sympathetic character. I guess you'd call him an anti-hero. He's not a hero, but he's white. So, oh, is it a pro-white movie? He's the downtrodden white man? Well, remember, he is a mass murderer. He becomes a mass murderer, and he's insane. So there's that aspect of it. But then, and I'm not going to go too deep into this because I want to hear your views of it, but there's the whole good guys, bad guys thing. So who are the good guys? Who are the sympathetic crowd? The sympathetic crowd is the masses of the people in Gotham City who are multicultural. Now, at the beginning of the movie, you know, he is attacked by a small gang of Hispanic youths who beat him up. But otherwise, the bad people are the rich, and the rich are showed as being white. And not fellow whites, by the way, but whites. There's one scene that I think really defines it. Supposedly there's some showing of an old Charlie Chaplin movie. Charlie Chaplin, by the way, was Jewish. But anyway, the Charlie Chaplin movie, and they show all of the well-dressed people, and they're in a very nice theater, and they're all watching it, and you look at, you know, as the camera pans from the front rows to the back rows, they're all white, except in the very back row, there's an attractive, well-dressed black woman in the back of the bus, so to speak. But otherwise, it's all white. So and those are the people you're not supposed to be sympathetic with. They're the bad people. So it does have that whole multicultural mass versus the evil whites. Okay, I'm going to kick it over to you now. What, as somebody who hasn't seen it but has heard lots of discussion on it, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is obviously part of the Batman sort of franchise, isn't it? In the fact that this is how the Joker came into being. This is his origin story. This is what made the supervillain. And I'm not really sure. I mean, I've heard it's a very good film. It's got very good reviews. But from my perspective, I particularly like the depiction of the Joker, or the portrayal of the Joker, in The Dark Knight, where Batman was played by Christian Bale and the Joker was played by Heath Ledger. And one thing I really liked about that portrayal of the Joker is several times during the film, the Joker actually talks about his origin. He talks about what made him the Joker, what made him into what he is. In that particular film where he's a criminal mastermind, where he's sort of holding the city to ransom. And each time he talks about what made him who he is in that moment, his story is different. It's either his dad abusing him, it's his wife leaving him, it's something different each time. And I quite like that. I like the fact that he's obviously lying or making it up as he goes, or just insane. He's got a different series of stories he tells different people depending on his mood. And that added a certain degree of mystery. And it also sort of paints the picture. Is this a tragic sort of character who's ended up where he is because of misfortune? Or is he just insane? Is he just a bad guy who's bad to the bone and makes things up on the fly, really to sort of amuse himself, you know, at the expense of the people he's telling the tale to. And I really like that portrayal. I think it's an exceptional portrayal of the character. Now, this particular Joker sort of nails down one story. This is now the backstory of the Joker. This is what turns a regular man into a super criminal. And I do want to see this film. As I say, it's one of those films that I do want to see. I just have this problem with spending large amounts of money on Hollywood films. And I will see it in the end. But my particular focus on this film is really based around the fact that some people on our side of the fence seem to think it's sort of a big alt-right movie, for want of a better term. It's sort of shows how the average white guy gets beaten down, mistreated, then eventually he snaps. But I don't really see it as that. And as I say, I haven't seen the film, but from what I have seen, a bit from what I've read about it, from my initial sort of reactions to trailers and to reviews, I don't really see it as our movie. And I certainly don't see the Joker as our guy. I kind of see it as the opposite. It's kind of glorifying in a strange way the mistreated, the downtrodden, not rising up and becoming something positive, but further spiraling and becoming something negative. So when young men come to our movement, when downtrodden people embrace nationalism, we want to raise them up. We want to create something better. We want to create order out of the chaos. We want to give those men hope. We want to turn them into disciplined, upstanding young men. We don't want to turn them into anarchistic super criminals. We don't want to turn them into madmen who want to go on killing sprees. We want to turn them into something better. And I think this is very much, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the director is Jewish. And I think in many ways, this is kind of an example of powerful Jews giving negative role models to white kids. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a lot of white young white males watch this film. And those young white men are going to look at it and be like, I empathize to a certain degree with this character. I feel isolated. I feel downtrodden. I feel mistreated by society. I feel as if I don't have a place. And I think both you and I and many people within our community would really empathize with young men who have those feelings. We would really empathize with young men who feel out of place, isolated, downtrodden. I get emails from people on a daily basis saying, I feel so isolated. I've slipped into a really bad lifestyle because of my isolation, because of all of the things that have happened to me that have left me feeling as if I don't belong. Because everyone belongs in today's society except for the straight, white, traditionalist male. He doesn't belong. But the answer isn't to turn into the Joker. The answer isn't to have this downward spiral and go on a killing spree. The answer isn't to embrace mad, anarchistic violence. It's not to become someone who wants to tear society down for the purpose of tearing it down, for the purpose of chaos. The answer to the problem that these isolated people feel is to come together, form a positive community, and to lift ourselves and each other up to something more positive. So we don't become the villain, we become the hero. And for me, and this isn't my turn of phrase, actually. Not my turn of phrase at all. I actually saw somebody tweet this out, I think. Somebody said, we want our young men to be Batman. We want our young men to want to be heroes. We don't want our young men to want to be the Joker. We don't want our young men, our disaffected young men, to want to be the supervillain. And I know that's a very simplistic way of looking at things, but that sort of struck a little bit of a chord with me, because I thought to myself, yeah, I see that. I see where people are coming from. I see the point they're making. Because here, there is a certain glorification of the bad guy. And we said before that our enemies like to give our young people negative role models, and I kind of get the feeling that this film's doing that.
Yep. Okay, well, we're going off to the break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back. So who is the Joker? Who is the Joker? Is the Joker maybe, you know, is the Joker that guy who goes off? Which name should I use? Should I use Dylann Roof? I don't know. Dylann Roof probably wasn't abused. I don't know. Who has that kind of background? But how about James Fields? He might have had a bad background. I don't know. But the problem is, whether you're talking about Dylann Roof, whether you're talking about James Fields, whether you're talking about... And James Fields actually is a very, very sympathetic character. If you actually know the geography of that street in Charlottesville and who was where on that street, you have to have sympathy for him. But so let's leave him aside. But, you know, the guy in New Zealand, whatever. I mean, the guy in New Zealand's kind of a supervillain, right? He goes out and does a massive mass shooting. And what caused them to snap the way they did? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter, because no matter what was behind them snapping and doing what they did was massively harmful to us, right? The Joker, here's what was unrealistic about that movie. The Joker wound up getting all this public support. The people who would be Antifa, the people in the crowd scenes were holding up the sign "resist." They were using the word "resist," which of course is the anti-Trump, it's the anti-Trump slogan. So the pussy hat marchers, the Black Lives Matter people, or their allies, the people who have a very anti-white agenda, who go out on the streets and are you know, brainwashed into this anti-white action, they hold up signs, resist. Well, that's what you were seeing in the movie. They were actually using that resist. And somebody, a white character, a white person who, for whatever reason, shot up, you know, in the movies, shooting up people, other white people on a subway, but because they were rich, you know, he's portrayed as some sort of hero to the masses. Well, that's not the way things really work. If you had a white guy, no matter what his background was, and he went out and shot three rich, you know, three Wall Street brokers, because that's actually what it was in the movie, I guarantee you, it would be a hate crime, and it would all be about, you know, you'd have those masses of people out with signs saying resist and, you know, take away guns. That's not the hottest of hot takes, but, you know, that's one thing that was very unrealistic in the movie. And so the question becomes, is this like akin to, you know, feds trolling internet chat groups trying to get people, lure young impressionable white people into violence, right? Because that type of thing exists. How effective is it? I don't know. How many of the mass shooters had been contacted by feds who were putting them up to it? I don't know. But that type of thing happens. And is a movie like this that's glorifying, somebody who feels that they've had a bad life and they're snapping and then they're lashing out in whatever direction. Is this like akin to feds trying to put somebody up to a job in order to, you know, get the next villain? You see what I'm getting at? I'm probably not expressing it too well.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying. And these people are very intelligent. These people aren't stupid. They tend to promote things for a reason. For example, when you look into, you know, sort of lyrics or meanings behind films, I mean, one of the big meanings behind Superman is that Superman is essentially a Jewish power fantasy. Jews are people who feel as if they hide in plain sight in Western...
Are they crypto? And if so, are they exposed by kryptonite?
Well, Jews feel as if they hide in plain sight. They believe that they look like us, but they know they're not us. And they regularly change their names to get on in society. A good example of this is the politician in the UK, Michael Howard. His real name's Michael Hecht, but he changed it to Howard because that's a more anglicised name. So he fits in, so he doesn't stand out, so people don't notice that he's different. And the idea of Superman dressing up as Clark Kent is the idea of the Jew coming to a foreign land and hiding in plain sight.
Is Superman doing Tikkun Olam on us? Is that what it is about, Tikkun Olam?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's Hebrew for fixing the world. That's what they see themselves as doing.
Well, the thing with Superman is Clark Kent hides in plain sight. He hides, Superman hides in plain sight by dressing up as Clark Kent. And Clark Kent is a very, when you look at him, the sort of character he plays, he's very dorky, he's very bumbling, he's weak. He doesn't have really anything exceptional about him. In fact, you would see him almost as a beta male. You would see him as certainly not the alpha, somebody who plays second fiddle. Whereas Superman is the powerful character. He is the person behind the mask, is the powerful one. And I think that is a real Jewish power fantasy.
Okay, we're up on our next break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. So, Mark, you were talking about Superman as a Jewish power fantasy.
Yeah, the other key part of Superman is that he is an immigrant, that he doesn't fit in, that he's not one of us, but he looks just enough like us to pass himself off as Western. And he also knows that he is very powerful, and really, in many ways, he is above all of us, because he's Superman. He's more powerful than us. He has these superpowers. And again, that is a Jewish belief. They believe they're the chosen ones. They believe they're the chosen people, yet they walk amongst us and have to act like us and have to hide in plain sight. And there's been quite a lot of articles about this. One on the Daily Beast is titled, "Superman is Jewish. The Hebrew roots of America's greatest superhero. Superman is America in that it was created by hardworking, exploited immigrants. An examination of the Jewish roots of the Man of Steel by Rich Goldstein." Now, obviously, this guy is Jewish, and he's writing about Superman in glowing terms. But a little bit from the article: "Superman's possible Judaism shouldn't be a surprise. The hero's creators, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, were the children of Jewish immigrants. The comic book industry, where they spent a significant portion of their young careers, was created in New York by Jews like Max Ginsburg, Bob Kahn, and Jacob Kurtzberg, who hid their ethnicity behind names like Gaines, Kane, and Kirby. Over the years, there have been scores of books and articles on the subject, with puny names like Up, Up, and Oy Vey, or Mensch of Steel. However, recent portrayals of the characters, particularly the 2013 Man of Steel, focus on the Christ-like, messianic qualities of the Metropolis Marvel. In the run-up to the movie's release, faith-based press relations company Grace Hill Media invited religious figures around the nation to attend select pre-release screenings, posted clips online, and provided notes for possible faith-based discussion topics on the film. And when you look at this, you can see a parallel there between Superman and his creators, because they changed their names in the comic book industry to make people believe that they were American, to believe they had European roots, when in fact they were Jews. And Superman does exactly the same. He works in the press, of all things. You know, he's this reporter who just reports the news. But really, he's above everyone. Really, he's this messianic character, as this article says. He is the chosen one. And I think people get where I'm coming from on this. And if you look at the comic book industry as a whole, it pushes many characters like this, and they all have sort of subtle nods to their Jewish creators. And I think when you look at the Joker film, as I said, the director of that, I think he's Jewish. I'll look that up in a second.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But I don't think they will be pushing that to help us. I think that film will be pushed for nefarious reasons, because it turns the white male ultimately into the bad guy. The white male is the bad guy. And he might be beaten, he might be downtrodden, but he doesn't rise as the hero. He doesn't rise like Superman. Superman, he hides in plain sight, he's an immigrant, he doesn't belong, he's different to everybody, but he does good things. He's the hero. The white man, on the other hand, when he's beaten down, when he's treated like the bad guy, when he doesn't have a place, when he feels isolated, he doesn't go into the phone box, transform into Superman, put his cape on and go and save people. No, he kills everybody on the subway. He goes on a killing spree. He does terrible things. He becomes a supervillain. And I think there you're seeing the two different sides of what the comic book industry portrays. You're seeing an outsider coming in to white society. You are seeing him hide in plain sight and emerge as the hero to help and raise up that society, whilst being humble, whilst having to change his name, while fearing persecution because he's a migrant. Then on the other hand, you see a white male who at the moment is in the majority. He's seen by the vast majority as the majority. And you see him have a fall from grace. You see him become isolated. You see him lose his place in society. And when he does lose his place, he doesn't raise himself up. He doesn't become a hero. He doesn't fight back in a noble way. But he becomes the villain, or more of the villain. He becomes this sick, twisted bad guy who probably needs to be dealt with by the immigrant superhero. Uh-huh. And I think that is a very, very clever way of portraying what these people want to get over. And it's also very, very effective, because I'm sure lots of disaffected white males will watch this film and at least have some kind of empathy for the main character in it. But maybe you could tell us more about the film, because you've seen it. Would you say my analysis is incorrect?
I think you're spot on. And here's some other interesting stuff. You said you would look up the director. So the director is one Todd Phillips. Well, okay, Todd Phillips doesn't sound like a Jewish name, except that he was born Todd Bunzel. And somewhere along the way, his name got changed. And what a coincidence, because you mentioned that some other people who had name changes along the way. So that's the director. And then the producer, he's one of the producers, another producer, Emma Tillinger Koskoff. Imagine my surprise. What a coincidence. She's also Jewish. There's a third producer, a Bradley Cooper, and I'm not aware of Bradley Cooper, what his background might be. But then when you go on to the writers, the screenwriters, so you got the Todd Phillips, the Jewish change namer, and a Scott Silver. Imagine our surprise. He's also of Jewish descent. So, yes, it is a very thoroughly Jewish movie. And I think your analysis is spot on. I don't think it's, you know, I think it can be interesting for us to see. To me, this is what I've said on other shows. People know that there's something wrong. That's why Donald Trump was elected. People know there's something wrong, but they don't know what it is. And what this movie does is it's a response to people knowing something's terribly wrong with society, but it doesn't illuminate what's wrong with it. If anything, it obfuscates it. And so, you know, so we continue to have, you know, you can continue to have your establishment conservatives who are going to be talking about whatever, free markets or socialism is the problem. And then you have other, you know, you can have your Noam Chomsky cult, and it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's capitalist power. It's all about capitalist power. And everybody, or you can have your David Icke, who's going to be talking about lizards from the center of the earth, which isn't any less accurate than the normie conservatives or the Noam Chomsky, but it's not correct either. And it, you know, it just obfuscates and keeps people confused, and so nobody is really going to go and see what we have is, you know, you've had what David Duke is always quoting David Brooks from the New York Times and a myriad of other Jews who talk about a takeover of American and other Western societies by Jews. And because of their very paranoid outlook and what you've described, their kind of, what is it, their Superman outlook, they think they're the chosen, that either some of them might be thinking they're doing takum alone, fixing the world. Maybe they think they're being beneficial. Others are simply just paranoid and think that unless they take ride the tiger, that the tiger's going to eat them, that the tiger's going to holocaust them. But, you know, without explaining the Jewish role in all of this, there's no way to understand what's going on. And last thing, I had one caller on an earlier show today, and I don't want to get into this type of thing, but say something about the only answer is expelling Jews. Well, haven't Jews been expelled from over 100 countries so far? And if that was the answer, why are we having all these problems?
Indeed. That is a very, very good question. Now, I just want to address something else here, if I can. And it's about the way that Jews think. And it really does dovetail with what we've been talking about in terms of this or these sort of comic book films, because you've got this idea amongst the Jewish populace that they are the chosen ones, that they are better than everybody else. And that's a very, very sort of powerful mindset. That's a very powerful thought process to have. They believe that they are this messianic group. They are God's chosen people. They're better than everyone else. They're superior. And they're not just superior, but they're chosen. They are basically from birth blessed to be the best, to be above all else. But at the same time, they also curiously believe that everyone else is out to get them. They believe that the rest of the world is all against them. And that's two very interesting mindsets. And together, it creates this powerful sense of in-group preference. And here you have this with, you know, your Superman-style character. Again, you see both of these traits within the Superman character. I mean, Superman is essentially a godlike character. He has godlike powers. He's virtually unkillable. He can see through objects. He has super strength, super speed. He can fly. But at the same time as all of that, he is someone who has to hide. He has to keep his head down. He can't admit to the public who he is for fear of rejection, because they won't like him. They won't take him into their hearts. He has to hide his true powers from the world. And I think when you look at these things and you look at the Jewish mindset, You can see the entire Jewish mindset exhibited in these superheroes. And you can also see how the Jewish mindset creates this very insular, very community-minded group that has such extreme in-group preference. Because, as I say, on one hand, they believe they are destined to rule. They believe they're the chosen people. But on the other hand, everyone's out to get them. So they have to look after themselves. They have to hide. They have to work within other societies. They have to keep their head down. They can't really admit who they are or what they're up to. And that's a very, very unique mental condition, which sets them apart from almost every other racial group on the planet. And I think when you see them in that light, when you see how they've set themselves apart, how they're very different, you actually look at them and you think to yourself, wow, well, this is very sort of unique, but also it's very empowering. It's something that's almost like a natural defense mechanism that keeps them together, that keeps them protecting themselves, that stops them interbreeding, that stops them doing all of the things that we tend to do, which they often promote for us to do, that destroys our people. What are your thoughts on that? How do you think that is exhibited in the comic industry and within these kind of movies?
Yeah, the comic industry, I had a friend who read comics, which I think comic books were probably they were probably a big deal before my generation and then after my generation, but like I was a TV generation, but I did have a friend who'd read comic books. But, you know, whether it's comic books or anything else, we are being lured into just bad lifestyles, bad ideas. I spend time, in supermarkets, for instance. If I'm out in supermarkets and I look at the people and I look at what's in their shopping carts, and you just see all of this obesity. I've gone over average weights of people, broken down by racial groups. And sometimes you see, oh, the average black woman weighs 190 pounds, which is pretty ridiculous. But then you look at the average white woman is like 170 something pounds in America. And, obesity and just bad ideas. And I just look at our society, the bad health, the lack of understanding of anything, the mental health issues, the drug issues. And it it wasn't like this 40, 50 years ago when I was growing up. It wasn't like this. Things have taken a big turn for the worse, and people know it's taken a turn for the worse. And, I travel around, and you can go to other countries, and, Japan and Korea, they've got their own problems. But you don't see, they have problems reproducing, for instance. They're not reproducing. They've got their own problems. But just having these sickly-looking people, in the case of white men in the United States, you're starting to have a collapse in life expectancy, or life expectancy is getting shorter, which, by the way, when you had the big Jewish takeover of Russia post-Soviet Union in the 1990s, the male Russian life expectancy plunged by about 8 years. So, I don't know. That's, we're in bad shape, and I don't know. I do think you have really good instincts and political, political strategy and all. All I can think of is we gotta. I just try to get out as much what I think is truth and understanding. I don't know about the strategy of how we get out of this, but I do think we've got to be completely honest, and I don't think it helps us to be anything less than honest.
Well, I think honesty is obviously a key component of what we do. But I do think there is a way to go about being honest that is much more productive than what some people do. Mm. And if you want me to expand on
please
that,
do.
I can.
Please do.
Well, I think the Jewish question is kind of the final red pill. It's the final red pill. It's the final piece of information. People usually start with something like immigration. They quickly move on to cultural differences, which takes them on to race realism. Then once they've looked into race realism, they can see there's actually an organized plot to see us replaced within our own homelands. And that's something which is a really, really a big eye-opener for people, when people realize that there is this plot to destroy the Western world via a system we call white genocide, by being replaced, by being bred out. They often ask, who is behind this? What's destroyed our families? What's pushed this madness on? Why aren't we fighting back? And that leads on to the JQ. But there is a logical path to take to get to that point.
Which we'll get to after the break.
Is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are right back on National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And so what is that logical path that we need to take?
Well, look, it's very simple. When you start a computer game, you start off with weak weapons, weak gear, low health, low armor, and you take on challenges that are sort of proportional to your power. Otherwise, you just give up. No one starts at the final boss. No one goes in there at the final challenge straight away with their wooden sword and a cloth tunic and no magic and no health. They wait until they've played the game for 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 hours And they've got all the health, all the armor, the best sword, the best spells. And then they take on the final boss because they're ready for it. They're ready for that level of power. They're ready for that challenge. And what I'm saying is, if we take our politics a bit like a computer game, and we look at new recruits if they're starting out on that magical journey, don't throw them to the final boss straight away. If you've got somebody who's interested in that cause and is tentatively asking questions about the Great Replacement and race realism and cultural differences, don't throw them in at the deep end. Don't start them off with, well, what do you think about what happened in 1942 to 1945? Don't throw them straight in with, well, there's the Kalergi plan and the guy behind it. And you need to get them to that point. And we've seen some wonderful people over the last couple of years, people like Simon Harris, Dion Moller, who have discovered the JQ. But it was a journey for them. They went on a path of discovery. And it was like following the breadcrumbs. It was like playing that computer game. They started off with the wooden sword and shield and built up and finally took the final red pill and declared victory when they got to the final boss because they were ready for it. And all I'm saying is, what we do is very important. But the truth can be overwhelming if you get it all at once, if you're thrown in the deep end. And my big takeaway from this is, if you're going to talk to people about the JQ, make sure they're ready for it. You know, when your aunt comes up to you and says, oh, I'm a bit concerned about the number of migrants in the UK, probably speak to her about that and build her up to it. Don't just go off on one and give her the final boss straight away.
Yeah. You know something? I couldn't agree with you more what you said. Now, I came a somewhat different path, and that's because I came basically from the left. And there is this alternative path. And, you know, I understood about Jewish power long before I understood about, you know, racial realism or immigration or a whole bunch of other things. And it's a very different path. And maybe that's not where we're going to get the most people. But, yeah, there is a different path. There are people on the left who understand about Jewish power, but then may think of Jewish power as just being kind of a subset of white power, right? Well, anyway, we're out of time, but who's going to be the guest on the Patriotic Weekly Review?
That will be James Alsop.
Okay, and we know James Alsop. He is the new guy on Fast the Nation on TRS. So that should be interesting. He's very, very well spoken. That is actually, it's the same time as my show on Wednesday, but somehow through the magic of magic, I'm able to do both shows at the same time. That's amazing. I don't know how that happens, but you know, my engineer, Mr. T here, it's all in his very capable paws. All right, so thank you, Mark, for being on the show again. And
thank you for having me. It's always a great pleasure.
And check out Mark's not just his YouTube channel, his BitChute channel, because every week he has great short little documentaries, short little videos on important topics. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.